1 Corinthians chapter number 7. It's been a couple months, but I'm back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. We're going to finish up. I have pretty much covered this chapter now with, I think I had three or four different messages on the single adult. We did one to the married people, God's Word to about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And so we've really covered this chapter pretty thoroughly, except for verses 17 through 24. And I really didn't want to leave the chapter until I have a chance to teach this. This text that I'm about to read, we're about to read, it may kind of seem like an odd passage to have in a chapter that really deals with marital issues. On the surface, this text, it's like, man, where'd that come from? You know, it's like it appears out of nowhere, and it's like, that has nothing to do with marriage. You know, what's that doing there? And, you know, and you just kind of scratch your head. But really, when you study this thing out, you're going to see tonight, it really does make sense that it's here. Of course, we knew that because it's God's Word. But you know, we can figure that thing out and know that, wow, this is a great place for this to be. Let's read it. Look at verse 17. He says, but as God hath distributed, what? Oh, 1 Corinthians, yes, chapter 7, verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I, Paul said, in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Okay, a Jew? Let him not become uncircumcised, a Gentile. Is any called in uncircumcision? He's a Gentile. Let him not be circumcised, become a Jew. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now again, I know some of you may be looking at that thinking, wow, what does that have to do? You know, when you begin to understand the importance of the teaching in this passage, the light clicks and you suddenly realize how crucial this text is to the marriage relationship. Because what Paul's dealing with in the text we just read, he's dealing with the believer's true identification. All believers are called to a special place, a special position, and a special privilege. Real quickly, I want to show this to you. What is our calling? Sometimes you hear people say, yeah, my calling is to be a preacher, or my calling is to be a missionary, or my calling is to lay tile, or my calling is to, you know, own a business, or my calling is to do this or that. Well, you know, really, your calling, biblically speaking, has nothing to do with all that. All right? Your calling, well, let me just show you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and keep your bookmarker here in 7. We're going to come right back. What's our calling as a believer? Look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7. I'm sorry, 9, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were what? Called. What's my calling? I've been called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So what is the place of my calling? The special place of my calling is that I've been called to a place of fellowship with Christ. Amen? Now, not only that, I have a secure position that has to do with this calling. My calling is it's a secure position of being spiritually one with Jesus Christ. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Okay, go to chapter 6. We're talking about our calling. What's our calling? Our calling is that place of fellowship with Christ. Well, our calling is also a position of being spiritually one in Christ. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. It says, But he that is joined unto the Lord. Notice, once you're saved, you're joined unto the Lord, and what happens? He that's joined unto the Lord, okay, there's me and the Lord, but then what does it say? You're what? You become one spirit. So what's the position in this calling? Well, I've got a special position of being spiritually one in Christ. Let me show you one other passage, okay? Keep your bookmarker now in Corinthians and go to Ephesians chapter number 1. This is my calling, Brother Larry, right here. You know, the calling of God isn't some spooky thing, all right? The calling of God is in black and white. God tells you what your calling is. Your calling is you've been called to a place of fellowship with Christ. You've been given a position as one with Christ. Not only that, that my calling not only gives me a special place and it gives me that secure position, listen to this, my calling gives me a sure privilege, a privilege of a future inheritance with Jesus Christ. Remember what I taught about the rapture a few weeks ago and how that when the rapture occurs, it sets in motion a plan, a divine plan, whereby God has called us to rule and to reign over the government of the heavens with Jesus Christ. Remember all that? Just shake your head and act like you remember that. Okay, good. Ephesians chapter 1, make me feel good. Ephesians 1, look with me at verse 18. Paul said, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know," notice this, "what is the hope of his," what? "Calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance." But wait a minute. How is Christ going to lay hold on the glory of his inheritance? What's the last three words? In the saints. So he's going to lay hold of that heavenly inheritance through the saints of God. So you know what my calling is? My calling has to do with a place of fellowship with Christ right now. I've got a secure position in Christ right now. And my calling also involves a sure privilege of a future inheritance whereby I'm going to rule and I'm going to reign with Christ in the government of heaven throughout all eternity. Boy, that's a calling. Amen? Now we know why Paul said there in verse 17, Ephesians 1, 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. I've told you over and over, haven't I? You got to know some things if you're going to grow in Christ. If you're going to know who you are, you've got to understand your calling. You see, you have a calling. And that calling is that fellowship with Christ, that position in Christ, that privilege of ruling and reigning with Christ one day. That's our calling, our true identity, who we are. Who we are. You see, it's found in that calling that I just shared with you. And that's why Paul prayed so earnestly for these believers to be enlightened and understand these things. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to kind of hang out here now. 1 Corinthians 7, and that's the whole idea here. When Paul here is going through 1 Corinthians 7, you know why he throws this in here? Because what he's saying is, look, whether you're single or married, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you're a bond, a slave, or whether you're free, an understanding of your true identity and your calling in Christ, that's the key to having a heart that's at peace. You see, Satan and the world want you to believe just the opposite. Satan and this world system that Satan has put in place, you know what they want you to believe, Christian? They want you to believe that if you can just change your outward circumstances, you'll be at peace. If you can just change your outward identity, you'll be happy. If you can just change your outward status, then you'll find fulfillment in life. And those are all lies. They don't give what they promise. You work and you strive and you strain to try to get this outward status, this outward position, these outward physical characteristics, and you strive and you strain to try to have these things, and then you finally get them, and you're like, wow, that's it? Boy, you come up empty. You know, it's like I was reading about Tom Brady, the quarterback for the Patriots, won 3 Super Bowls, and they were interviewing him. And he said, you know, after he won the Super Bowl, he thought, well, man, if I can just get another one, then, you know, I'll really feel fulfillment. And then he got another one. And if I just get another one, I think I'll be fulfilled. He got three of them. He's like, man, he said, you know what? He said, after my third Super Bowl win, I thought, is this it? Is this it? Is this all there is to life? I mean, here's a guy that has achieved fame, fortune, notoriety, status. You know, he's got all these outward things, but you know what? Fulfillment and peace in his heart is still eluding him. You see, the point Paul's making here in 1 Corinthians 7 is that we think, here's the thing, Paul is emphasizing this identification issue. And you say, well, but what does that have to do with marriage? It has everything to do with marriage. What does it have to do with my status as a single adult? Has that everything to do with it? You say, why? Because when we don't understand our true identification, when we don't understand who we are in Christ, when we don't understand what our true calling is, then you know what happens? When we don't understand our true identification, it leads to marital problems, it leads to divorce, it leads to single adults who are frustrated, who are miserable with their, you know, lot in life. And what happens is we think in our minds, if I can just change my spouse's actions, I'll be happy. If I can just change to a different spouse, I'll be happy. You know, and I'll have peace in my life. Well, you know, if I can just get married and lose this single status, man, I'll be fulfilled, I'll be happy. And then, you know, you get married and it's like, wow, okay, that didn't do it. Then, you know what, if I could just have some kids, you know, maybe I'll be fulfilled and be happy, you know. And then they become toddlers, you know. And listen to this statement. Until you are at peace with who God has made you in His Son, you are going to be frustrated and you are going to be a miserable person. Until you get at peace with who God has made you in Christ, the calling that God has given you in His life of being in Christ, being in fellowship with Christ, having that future inheritance in Christ, until you get at peace with who God's made you in His Son and that calling He's put on your life, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be unhappy. The relationships of life will just frustrate you endlessly. Marriage will frustrate you, you know? And then being single will frustrate you. And then all these things, you know, being divorced will frustrate you. All, you know, wherever you're at in life, it just be a frustration to you. You know, and you always be looking to change everything because you think that's going to finally bring you fulfillment. Listen, the point of 1 Corinthians 7 here is, first of all, Paul is going to teach us where our identity is not found. Okay? That's the first thing. And you know what he tells these people? Your identity is not found in your outward circumstances. Look at verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Do you know what the context of that is? When he says, look, as God's distributed. In other words, whatever situation you find yourself in, you know, just walk in that thing. Just walk in Christ in that thing. You know what the context of that verse is? The context is a believer who finds himself married to an unbeliever. And Paul is teaching here that the believer should not be simply just be so quick to just change the circumstances by getting out of the marriage. Look at verse 13. He says, "And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him." Verse 16. "But what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" You know what he's saying right there? He's saying instead of walking out of your present circumstances, thinking that's going to solve all your problems, Why don't you simply walk with Christ in your present circumstances? And that's the point. Just walk with Christ in and through those circumstances. You know, Colossians 2:6, as you've received the Lord, so walk ye in Him. He says just walk in those circumstances in Christ, through Him. Instead of trying to manipulate things, instead of trying to change your circumstances, let Christ change you through the circumstances that you find yourself in. Does that make sense? That's the point here. You understand who you are in Christ, so therefore you say, okay, look, I'm not going to be under this false notion that if I just run out of this marriage or run out of this situation, I'm going to be okay. No, you've got mature thinking now, and you realize, you know what? Christ just wants to change me through these circumstances. See, we get the false notion, if I can just change my spouse, if I can just change the conditions of life, things will be better and I'll be happy. The whole point of this passage is that won't work for the believer. Okay? So if you're under the idea that, man, if I can just change my circumstances, my outward circumstances, then everything will be okay, he says, no, that is not right. Your identity, true identity, is not found in your outward circumstances. And then he teaches in verse 18 that, number two, your true identity is not found in your outward identity. Look at verse 18. Is any man called being circumcised? In other words, that's another word for, Jewish. You're a Jew. Let him not become uncircumcised. See, that's how we know he's not talking about the physical act here. We know that's an impossibility, okay? He's speaking spiritually here that, look, if you're called, okay, you've received this calling in Christ, you're a Jew, you're part of the circumcision. He says, look, don't try to come over here and become a Gentile, become part of the uncircumcision. Look at the rest of the verse. Is any called in uncircumcision, a Gentile? Let him not be circumcised. Don't feel like you have to come over here and try to become a Jew. What's the point? The point is, your true identity is not found in your outward identity. Listen, your true identity is not found in your outward physical characteristics. Boy, now, that's a revelation today, isn't it? Because so many people think that their identity is found in their outward identity. They think their identity is found in the way they look. They think their identity is found in their, the way their body looks or the way their face looks, And you got people running around trying to change the outward, thinking that's going to bring them peace. Thinking that's going to bring them happiness. Thinking that's going to bring them fulfillment. But, Paul says, look, your true identity is not found in your outward physical characteristics. Your true identity is not found in your race. It's not found in the color of your skin. It's not found in your nationality. Look at verse 19. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. He said, look, this has nothing to do with your true identity. And then look at verse 19. He says, notice, but the keeping of the commandments of God. In other words, we demonstrate our true identity not in our physical identification. Brother Larry, I don't demonstrate who I am in Christ by my physical identity. I don't demonstrate who I am in Christ by the way I look outwardly. I demonstrate who I am in Christ, look at verse 19, by the keeping of the commandments of God. And what Paul's referring to right there, he's not talking about the Jewish law. Okay? He clearly teaches we're not under the law, we're under grace. What's he talking about? Well, the Apostle Paul is our apostle, isn't he, to the Gentile church. The Apostle Paul gave the church our marching orders and gave us the commandments of God for us today. If you go over to chapter 14 real quickly, I'll show you this. We'll come right back. Chapter 14, you'll see this. When he talks about the keeping of the commandments, he's not talking about you coming under the Jewish law. He just got done telling you that circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing. So we know he's not talking about the law as far as the Old Testament law. We're not under that, but 1 Corinthians 14:37 says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you, Paul said, notice, are the what? Commandments of the Lord. So what do we do, church? We get into this book, we study Romans through Philemon. We study out those 13 books very thoroughly. We know those better than anything else in the Bible because that's our direct mail. That's our direct commandments, okay? I mean, you know, Abel was commanded to take an animal and sacrifice it, you know, and offer up a blood sacrifice. But, you know, that's not a commandment for us today, you know. So what we have to do is we have to go to the Bible and realize, okay, what's written directly to me? Well, Paul said, the commandments I give you, what I give to you, if you're spiritual, you're going to acknowledge that what I give you are the commandments of the Lord. So we go to Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon, those 13 books. We study those things out. Why? Because we demonstrate our true identity in Christ by our desire to want to obey God's instructions that God gave to the church through the Apostle Paul. So your identity, your true identity, it's not found in your outward circumstances. Your true identity is not found in your outward identity. Number three, your true identity is not found in your outward status. Look back with me at chapter 7 and look at verse 21. Your outward status. Verse 21. Art thou called being a servant? Now, in Paul's day, slavery was still very, very common. So what if I'm a slave in Paul's day and I get saved? Many of them did. Many, many slaves got saved. They heard the gospel. They trusted Christ. So what if I'm a slave and I get saved? So now I'm a slave and I've got this special calling, this special position of being in Christ, and I've been called into the fellowship of Christ. I've been called into a position in Christ. I've been called to an inheritance in the future in Christ, and that's my calling. What if I'm a slave and now I got this calling on my life? What should I do? Verse 21, art thou called being a servant? What'd Paul say? I love that. Care not for it. You know what Paul's saying right there? Don't worry and don't fret about it for 1 minute. You know what he says? Look at this. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. In other words, if you can be made free, in other words, you know, that's a possibility for you, then that's fine. You can use it. That's great. But verse 22, for he that is called in the Lord being a servant, I love this, is the Lord's free man. Man, do you know what an encouragement that was to slaves back in that day? In Christ, you're free. So you know what he says? You can serve Christ in your status as a slave. No big deal. Don't care for it. Don't worry about it for 1 minute. You just serve Christ in your status as a slave. And that's what he taught. Remember in Titus 2, 9 and 10, when he talked about servants, be obedient to your masters. And that's what he's saying here. Is look, just serve Christ in that status. Well, now wait a minute. What if your status is one of freedom and you get saved? Well, look at verse 22 again. He says, likewise, right in the middle of the verse there, likewise also he that is called being free, in other words, you've been saved and you're free, you're not a slave, he is Christ's what? Servant. Do you all see what he's doing here? He's saying, look, if your status is one of freedom, don't think that outward status gives you a spiritual advantage over your brother over here who's a slave. Remember, you are Christ's servant. And he's the Lord's freeman. In other words, both of you, your identity is not found in your outward status in this world. Your identity, listen to me, your identity, friend, is not found in your marital status. Your identity is not found in your financial status. Your identity is not found in your social status. Your identity is not found in what kind of car you drive. And your identity is not found in what neighborhood you live in. And if you think it does, you are self-deceived. Oh, wow.
look at that car he's driving. Boy, he must be doing well.
And little do you know, he's in hock, in debt up to here. But you're stupid enough to think he's doing well. Well, boy, look at the neighborhood they live in. Woohoo, boy! Aren't they something else? Christian, your identity has nothing to do with where you are, what kind of conditions you live in, or what circumstances you're in, or what you possess. Your identity has nothing to do with those things. Your true identity is found in what? Yes, and he's going to show you. Let's look at verse 23. Okay, let's read on. Verse 23. I love this. Ye are bought, what? With a price. You know what he says? You know what he's saying right there? Your identity is what? You belong to Jesus. Some people think their identity is based on who they work for, or who they're married to, or who they know. Christian, he says, your identity is based on who you belong to, Jesus Christ. You have been bought with Christ's shed blood, and you belong to the risen Lord. You're bought with a price. That's your identity. You belong to Christ. Everything in life changes. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? Everything in life changes. Those of you who are 70, 80 years old, you can talk about that for a while, right? Everything in life changes. The car back in 1950, that was cool. It was cool, and you were something if you drove that around. Pull that up to Spruce Creek High School and see what kind of looks you get now. Denise and I, we were talking about this the other day. There's a neighborhood over in South Daytona that people who have lived here for years, they told us, said, yeah, that's where the rich people used to live in this area. That's where doctors live. That's where lawyers live. And of course, now the neighborhood's kind of run down. It's not very nice. And it's just kind of middle class, lower middle class, you know, whatever. But it's not at all a rich. But that used to be the ritzy area. That used to be where the well-off people were. But what had happened? What happened? I'll tell you what happened is that the well-off people that came along said, you know, we don't want to live in a house now that's 20 years old. We got to have something new. That's not big enough. So we got to go over here, build another neighborhood, because that's where the ritzy people live now. Bigger houses, newer. And guess what's going to happen in 20 years? It'll be nasty. It'll be bad. It's not going to be cool at all anymore. Hey, everything in life changes. Amen? Or is subject to change. It can change at a moment's notice. But you know what's cool? One thing never changes, and that's our position of being in Christ. That's your true identity. That doesn't change. Your identity is you belong to Christ. Not only that, your identity is you serve Christ. Look with me at verse 23 again. He says you're bought with a price. And then look what he says here. Be not ye the servants of men. Now, this is a very vital principle that's crucial for every believer to understand. You got to get this. Here's the principle. No matter what you're doing, your attitude is that you're doing it unto Christ. Paul says, be not ye the servants of men. Now, right away, somebody may say, wait a minute now, Pastor. That kind of goes against some stuff I've kind of been taught, or maybe stuff that I've thought my whole Christian life. I thought we were supposed to serve people. I thought we were supposed to have a servant's heart. Now I read a verse that says, be not ye the servants of men. That confuses me. Then, you know, why should I serve these kids at VBS? And why should I serve at the nursing home or the hospital or serve people that are sick? Why should I do it? Be not ye the servants of men. Somebody says, I don't get that. I thought we were supposed to serve other people. Well, we are. But here's the thing. If you're serving others and you are doing it for them, you know what's going to happen? you're setting yourself up for a big disappointment. You serve them, and if you're... By the way, get Ephesians 6 in one hand here, and keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians 7. Go to Ephesians 6, a key text here. If I do something nice for Brother Rob, and I'm serving Brother Rob, okay, and I'm doing it unto him, then you know what's going to happen? If Brother Rob isn't thankful to me the way I feel he should be thankful, I'm going to be really disappointed. If I'm doing something unto Brother Rob and I'm serving him, if he begins to take advantage of my service, or he turns on me, or he doesn't reciprocate back to me, I feel deflated and I feel depressed. And man, I am ringing some bells right now. I know I am. But you know what? If you're doing it unto Christ, then you realize Christ sees it, Christ appreciates it, and Christ will reward me in due time. And so the way He responds to me is a non-issue. I'm not doing it unto Him, I'm doing it unto Jesus. So the way He responds to me is a non-issue. It's a non-issue. If He uses me, He uses me. If He takes advantage of me, He takes advantage of me. If He uses my kindness in a bad way, then He uses it in a bad way. If He doesn't appreciate it and He's not thankful, oh well. You know what? I wasn't doing it unto Him. I was doing it unto Jesus. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart. Now look at this. How am I to do it? I'm to do it as what? As unto Christ. Now look at the next verse. Not with eye service as, I love this, men pleasers. But notice, as the servants of who? Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Verse 7. With good will doing service. Oh yeah, you know what? I am supposed to serve. Well, we've hammered that lately, haven't we? Titus, about good works. How God before ordained that after we're saved, we should walk in good works. Okay? So we know that we're supposed to serve. I mean, that's clear in the Bible, but look what it says. With goodwill doing service, but notice I'm doing it as to who? The Lord, and not to men. Look at verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Isn't that exciting? Now, that is important, isn't it? That you understand your true identification. That you belong to Christ and you serve Christ. That's your identity. You know, that's pretty important in marriage, isn't it? You see why Paul hit that in the context of marriage, divorce, and remarriage? Because, you see, you can get drained and you can get bitter real, real quick if you haven't settled this identification issue of who you belong to and who you serve. You can get bitter real quick. How many times have I heard wives say, I serve him, I cook for him, I clean for him, I do all these things for him, and he doesn't appreciate it. He treats me not nice, or he treats me and he doesn't do anything for me. And vice versa. I try to spoil her, I try to do nice things for her, and she still nags, nags, nags. Boy, I'm telling you something. You, listen, if I'm serving Denise, okay, then you know what? I expect something back. I expect her to reciprocate. I expect good stuff back. I expect her to be thankful. I expect her to appreciate me. I expect her to do something back. But you know what? If I serve Denise, but I'm doing it with the attitude that, Jesus, I'm doing it for her, but I'm doing it unto you, then you know what? The way she responds is a non-issue. Now, when you get that, it'll revolutionize your life. Because there are so many people in their marriages that are frustrated, they're angry, they're bitter, they're miserable, because they've never settled this identification issue of who they are in Christ, who it is they serve, and who it is they belong to. They've never settled that. So therefore, they're frustrated constantly. And they just get bitter and they get angry. You got to settle that thing. Listen, let me share something with you that really is so true. Do you know... Can't ask you a question. Can you change your spouse? That was quick. You can't change one thing about them. So you can live your whole life frustrated, thinking, if I could just change them. You can spend your whole life trying to change them. And boy, I tell you, you'd be miserable. You'd be miserable. You can't change them. You can pray for them. But you know what the bottom line is? God has to change them through His Word. God has to change them through the Word of God. But you know what? As you live out God's Word in your life, and as you serve them, but you serve them, you're serving, your heart is, I'm doing this for you, Jesus. When I do this for my old ornery husband, I'm doing it for you, Jesus. You know what? That changes your whole perspective. Instead of you trying to go through life trying to change everybody around you, trying to change your friends, trying to change your spouse, trying to change your boss, trying to change everybody at work, I'm going to tell you something. People like that are just uptight. People like that are just so... Just stressed out and miserable, because you just can't do it. So you got to settle the identification issue, who you belong to, who you serve. And then the third thing is, you know what you do? Your identity is, you belong to Christ, you serve Christ, you abide in Christ. Look at verse 24. Go back to 1 Corinthians 7. Look at verse 24, and I'll end with this. He says, "Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein," notice, "abide with God." Hey, look up here. Once you've settled the identification issue of who you belong to, who you serve, who you abide in, you know what? You're no longer straining. You're no longer striving to get outward status, to change your physical identity. You're no longer trying to gain outward acceptance. You're no longer trying to gain outward approval from people. You're no longer trying to look a certain way so you'll be acceptable. You're no longer in bondage to your circumstances. You are the Lord's free man. Your identification, your acceptance, your position, your life is wrapped up in Him. And you are able to face any circumstance or any difficulty with the peace of God. You experience fulfillment without feeling the necessity to change people. You experience fulfillment without feeling the necessity to change your circumstances or to change your outward status. Why? Because you've matured through His Word. You've come to understand where your true identity comes from. And you choose to believe what this book says and to abide in that rather than to abide in what this world system out here tells you. You can be plagued by your outward physical appearance. You can be plagued by your outward physical identity. You can be plagued by your outward physical financial status and all these things. You can be plagued by that your entire life, or you can get on with life and you can live like God has made you in Christ. Amen. Amen. As teenagers say, get over it. Get over it. You know, we can sit around and moan and groan and pity party and play the martyr, and we can do all those things. Poor me, woe is me. And we can just sit there and just wallow in our self-pity. Or we can get over it and we can just get on with life and say, you know what? No matter what my outward circumstances, no matter what my financial status, no matter whether I'm married, no matter whether I'm single, no matter whether, you know, whether my circumstances are good or whether they're bad, no matter what it is, you know what? I can live through those circumstances, and I can live according to who God's made me in Christ, and I can live in the true identity of the calling that God has given me in Jesus Christ. It is not your circumstances or your status that's going to make a difference. It's not your physical appearance that's going to make the difference. It is your understanding. Paul said, I want you to be enlightened that you can know and understand who God's made you in Christ and take a stand in that calling. Your outward circumstances and your physical appearance or your earthly status are not the issue. Your heart is the issue. Let's go to God in prayer tonight.